Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Buer Cement PLC conference call for analysts and investors for the first quarter ended March 2023. All participants will be in listen-only mode. For the participants on the webcast, please type your questions in the webcast question box. For the participants that have dialed in, there will be an opportunity to ask questions later during the conference. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal for an operator by pressing star then zero. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the conference over to Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Yusuf Bhinji. Please go ahead, sir.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this conference call. My name is Yusuf Bhinji. I'm the Managing Director, CEO of Buer Cement PLC. Presenting with me is Jack Bicaskie, our Chief Financial Officer. The business environment during the first quarter was challenging, having met with shocks from the government's currency redesign policy and its impact on our sales and distribution activities. The elections, which halted some of our activities and price changes in some input materials, including energy costs. Nevertheless, we were able to record another significantly positive performance in top-line growth while maintaining our investment credit rating following the review by DataPro. I'm sure all of you have got copies of the presentation we are going to go through today, so if you will kindly turn with me to slide 10 so that we go directly into the main business of the day. You will see that our net revenue increased by 9.7% to 106.4 billion naira from 97 billion naira in Q1 2022. EBITDA declined by 2.8% to 45 billion naira from 46 billion naira, and EBITDA margin contracted by 5.4 percentage points to 42.3% from 47.7% as at Q1 2022. Similarly, profit after tax and earnings per share declined by 19.1% and 19.4% to 26.8 billion and 79 kobo per share respectively. The expansion activities we announced in 2021 continue to progress as planned, and commissioning remains on course for next year. On sustainability, we are committed to minimizing the impact of our activities on people and the environment while positively influencing the communities through these tangible investments made. Turning to slide 11, you will see that our revenue per ton was up by 18.5% to 66,250 naira per ton from 55,904 naira per ton in Q1 2022, given the price adjustments effected last year. As earlier stated, EBITDA declined by 2.8% to 45 billion naira, resulting from an increase in raw materials and energy costs, depreciation charges, distribution costs, given the increase in fleet size, fueling cost, and debt issue expenses. The combined effect of these cost lines led to a contraction in EBITDA margin to 42.3%. Yet we remain upbeat about the times, the business model, and our ability to sustain profitability and margins at acceptable levels. If you'll kindly turn to slide 12, we showcase EBITDA drivers and the constraints met with. Net revenue increased by 9.7% or 9.4 billion naira to 106.4 billion naira from 97 billion naira in the prior quarter, and that was due to the price increase that took effect last year. Cost of sales increased by 14.7% or 7.2 billion naira to 56 billion from 48.8 billion, resulting largely from raw material cost, depreciation charges, energy cost, and repair and maintenance cost. The net selling, distribution, and administrative cost increased by 3.5 billion to 5.4 billion from 1.9 billion in Q1 2022 and attributed to increases in distribution costs given higher fueling prices, the acquisition of additional trucks, depreciation charges, and the debt issue expenses. If we turn to slide 13, we show the effect of the cost pressures encountered during the quarter. Cost of sales per ton rose by 24% to 34,870 naira per ton from 28,124 naira per ton in Q1 2022. Energy cost per ton increased by 13.3% to 14,261 naira per ton from 12,593 naira per ton as at Q1 2022 due to price increase and the fuel mix adoptions. Selling, distribution and administrative cost was up 2.2%, was up 2.2 times to 7,467 naira per ton from 3,352 naira per ton due to the acquisition of additional trucks last year, and also higher fueling cost, which doubled from an average of 325 naira per liter to 761 naira per liter, and also the depreciation and debt issue costs. Finally, if you will turn to slide 15, we present our purchase for the year, and you will see that definitely we have strong targets in terms of synergy and the new market penetration, our expansion activities. We also continue to sustain innovation, and we pay a very serious attention to sustainability issues with the transitions we are doing from heavy fuel oil in Sokoto to commencement of work in both our plants in Sokoto and Obu to install additionally 70 megawatts each of LNG or natural gas powered power plants. Thank you very much. On this note, I will kindly ask that the phone lines be opened so we may address the questions you may have during this call. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. For the participants that have dialed in, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one on your touch tone phone or the keypad on your screen. If you decide to withdraw the question, please press star and then two to remove yourself from the list. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one. And just a reminder for the participants on the webcast, please type your questions in the webcast question box. One moment, please, while we pause for questions. The first question comes from Fumni Dada from Standard Bank. Please proceed with your question.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the call. My first question is, what percentage of your volume is self-collect, and what percentage is delivered volume in terms of the volume for Q1? The second question is, what is the breakdown of your energy mix across your plants? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Fumi. The ratio of self-collection to delivered, I do not have the exact figure, so what I will give you is roughly approximate, and it varies from plant to plant. For example, in our factory in Edo State, we have 70% self-collection, and delivered is about 30%. While in Sokoto, the delivered is about 80% and self-collection 20%. These are rough figures, not really precise, but that is the trend generally. The energy mix, we have mentioned this severally. In Edo, we are basically using natural gas to power both our cane and turbine, and that is mostly available except for some periods where we have had shortage of gas supply from the grid, and we have had to supplement firing the cane with heavy fuel oil that is sourced from an independent refinery. Our fuel in Sokoto is a mixture of coal, which is a solid fuel for firing the kiln, and LNG, which is a gaseous fuel. and this is transported in tankers from Port Harcourt to Sokoto. We have made a full transition from liquid fuel to gaseous fuel for our generators. As you are aware, we generate 100% of our power, electrical power, using generators in Sokoto, and these are running 100% on LNG. So that is it regarding the fuel mix. Thank you.
Can we, does that conclude your questions?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from Kayode Essayin from Cardinal Stone Partners. Please proceed with your question, Kayode.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you very much for this opportunity. And I would like to congrats on the Q1 results. At least we were able to go strongly on the revenue leg. So my question is mostly for the first one, is around your volumes. What was your volumes in Q1 2023 and volumes in Q1 2022, just for comparison? And then for outlook for volumes, do you have any updates on the Adamawa plant, or particularly as regards when we're expecting those plants to come online? For the other two plants we're expecting in 2024, the Sokoto line and the other one, 3 MMPTA, when exactly in 2024 are those likely to come on stream? And then also, what's the update on financing from the IFC? And then I also understand that borrowing cost has initially been capitalized, but now that we are in the process of unwinding, that some plants have recently been commissioned, how are you planning to unwind this borrowing cost, and are you going to change the way you capitalize this interest expense on your income statements? And then another question is on your tax rate, particularly with the Ministry of Finance saying that they are working on phasing out the Paraná tax incentive. What are your expectations in line with this new policy trust by the federal government? And then are you also expecting to see a lower effective tax rate, given that we're expecting some new plants coming on stream? And that's it for now. I'll take any.
Okay, thank you, Kayode. Very heavily loaded. I will attempt to answer the first three or four, and then our CFO, Mr. Jack, if he's around, he will talk on the borrowing cost capitalization and the tax rate with respect to the pioneer status and the sunset date. Regarding the volumes for 2023, during the first quarter, we sold roughly 1.6 million tons. And this is 1,605,316 tons compared to 1,734,901 tons. So it's just a slight dip of 130,000 tons. And you know, we have given the reasons why this has been why we encountered most of this negative trends during the first quarter of 2023. You are all aware of the cash crunch, which affected deliveries and the consumption pattern, and also the tensions and uncertainties and concerns leading up to the elections in February and March. And we believe this have significantly affected consumer demand. Regarding Adamawa, we have mentioned during previous phone calls that we have not yet started construction activities because we have not yet concluded the raw material investigation that is really needed for us to secure the proven reserves needed to set up a plant that is going to last for decades in that area. So this project is still on hold pending when those investigations will be brought to a final conclusion. We have done some core drilling that we have mentioned before, and we are not so much satisfied with the volumes of limestone discovered there, but it is an ongoing thing. We will look at other areas within Adamawa. Regarding Line 5 in Sokoto and the Line 3 in Edo, we are very optimistic that commissioning activities will start within the next few months, and we may well see the intermediate product from these two plants being produced by in before the end of the year. By intermediate product, I mean you may see some clinker production. Then it will take like about a month before we have cement available into the market. So that will bring us somewhere within the first month of Q1 2024. Regarding the IFC financing, I am happy to announce that some progress has been made. Agreements has been signed with ISC itself. There are other lenders as part of this syndicated package, and we hope to conclude the signing before the end of the first half of this year. But we are going to make a disclosure as soon as everything has been fully signed. So not all the transaction amounts have been concluded up to now, and we have not done any formal signing ceremony, but agreements have reached an advanced stage. So we'll give an update to the stock exchange at the appropriate time. Jack, if you are around, can you shed some light on capitalization of the borrowing cost and also the pioneer status?
Yes, indeed. On the borrowing cost, so we are following the IFRS standards. So as long as a plant is under construction, the related loans interest, they are being capitalized with the line. At the day the line is commissioned, these interests, they are expensed. So actually, that's one of the reason you may have seen in an increase in the net financing cost between both quarters with a one-year gap. We have in 2023, we have the expense of the bond interest. Remember, some time ago, we got a bond for 115 billion. So this interest now, about 2.2 billion, have been expensed. In Q1 2022, they were still being capitalized because the related line number three, was commissioned as of April 1st of 2022. So that's on the borrowing cost. Now on the tax rate, I did not hear about this new policy, but on the pioneer status, as you know, the government has approved some years ago an extension of the granting of pioneer status to cement manufacturers, so to all of them. So we have applied and we have obtained pioneer status for the new lines that we commissioned, and also for future lines. And this is the same for all cement manufacturers. So it is a 3 years time frame from the date of commissioning, and it will not be granted anymore in the future, as it was confirmed by the government in its announcement. So I don't know, you mentioned the new policy. The line was not very good. Can you repeat what that was, please?
Okay. No, there was a recent update. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
There was a recent update from the Minister of Finance mentioning that they are working on phasing out pioneer status incentive for mature industries.
Okay.
I mean, if you ask me, cement industry sounds like a mature industry.
Yeah. So no, I just answered that. So for us, it was already announced. Actually, it was 2 years ago. Those who have applied for pioneer status, in our case, we have been granted a pioneer status for the lines that have that were pending a pioneer status, and for the forthcoming two new lines, we will also get pioneer status. So there is no change on this.
Yeah, all right. So I just have one or two last questions. And you mentioned cash crunch and political instability being the reasons for the slowdown in Q1 volumes. So my question is, what's your outlook for Q2 and beyond? Are you optimistic of volume story going forward, especially when you consider the fact that consumer wallet still remains severely depressed? How are you thinking about volumes? And then also in light of declining diesel prices, what do you think the outlook for the impact on energy costs is on your bottom line going forward? What's your degree of exposure to diesel prices? Or have you outrightly immunized yourself from the volatility we are seeing in that space?
Thank you very much, Kayode. Let me just clarify what I said. I never mentioned political instability. I said concerns around the electioneering. You know, so we mentioned the cash crunch and the concerns, you know, people who are jittery around that time. There was no instability as far as I'm concerned. Well, that basically, we believe, affected the consumption. And you could see not only us, probably all consumer goods also, and all manufacturing companies had a dip. And this could be attributed to majorly these two factors. Regarding the volumes going forward, we are optimistic that with all these things behind us now, the cash crunch is over and the election, there is much certainty now on this. We believe things are getting back to normal, and we have already started seeing an increase in the demand and consumption of cement. So we are very optimistic that the second quarter and the third and fourth quarters will be much better than the first quarter. We have also seen the pressure on AGO prices easing up. Last year, we were getting AGO sometimes above 800 naira a liter being delivered to our plants. And this has come down by probably about 20% now, and we believe it will continue to come down, and the availability has improved also. So definitely this is going to have a positive effect on our bottom line. If you may recall, we mentioned also last year that we have tried to cushion most of the effect of this energy prices. We have not passed all this cost to the consumer. So with the gradual easing up of these prices, that definitely will favor our bottom line. Thank you.
Kayode, are those all your questions?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, for the participants that have dialed in, just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and then one. While we pause for more questions, I'd like to hand over for questions on the webcast. Thank you.
Hello. Thank you, Claudia. Yes, we do have some questions on the webcast. The first question is from Gilbert Ayola, Ibadan Zone Shareholders Association. His question reads, I want to thank you for the opportunity given. So my question is as follows. What is your company doing to address future challenges in energy management to reduce increase in finance costs? I don't know, that sounds... Let me just move on to the next question. The next question is from James Ola Adisa, Chapel Hill, Denham. How do you see prices growing in 2023? Thank you.
Well, okay, to answer the question from James, definitely, you know, we cannot really say much about where the prices are heading going forth. We have already had a price increase at the beginning of the year, and certainly we will wait to see the response of the market also. Our main goal, you know, is to make cement affordable to all Nigerians and at the same time guaranteeing decent returns to our shareholders. So that will guide our future pricing calculations. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Mohammed Hanafi. From Afreximbank. Can you please indicate what percentage of exports of total revenues and the value of exports in absolute terms in the first quarter? Thank you.
I'm not sure whether we have those specific figures, but it's something we can check later and get back to Mr. Hanafi from Afrexim. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Moses Njuguna, EFG Hems. His question reads, what is the relative cost of HFO compared to other fuel sources like LNG? Thank you.
Well, it all depends on buying the HFO from. For us, we are buying from Nigerian crude. Some are importing. So definitely, these prices are going to vary. Also, you know, it depends on the quality of the HFO or the particular grade, and also a lot of parameters. But definitely, all energy sources are very expensive at the moment. And it's not so easy to compare because they are not apple to apple. In the cement industry, we talk of the energy content. So what you will get from 1 liter of HFO, you will not get it from 1 liter of diesel. The diesel will give you more energy content because of the higher calorific value. The same thing with gas. So it's not easy to compare apple to apple. We can give you specific cost per liter, but that will not help much until you compare them on a calorific value basis. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from David Uka, Meristem Securities. He wants to know, he's asking about the capacity of Sokoto Line 5 and Line 3 after completion. Thank you.
Both the two new lines under construction in the two respective states have an total capacity of 3 million metric tons per annum.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Gilbert Ayola, Ibadan Zone Shareholders Association. Question reads, what's the company also doing to address the large figures on received cash or funds from trade receivables to ensure they have more funds to boost its operations? Thank you.
Jack, I think this is for you. Thank you.
Yes. The trade receivables that we in the unaudited financial statements, the total only 86 million. Actually, the trade receivables are very low. You know, we are selling against cash. So I'm not sure exactly what the gentleman means by to decrease these receivables, because they're already almost nil compared to the revenues.
Thank you, sir. I have no more questions on the webcast.
Thank you very much. We will now return to questions on the phone lines. The next question comes from Samson Owolabi from ARM Securities. Please proceed with your question, Samson.
Okay, thank you very much for the opportunity. So my question is, I would ask them in the faces. So the first one, I want to understand what the company is doing concerning, let's say, price increase. Are we going to be expecting any price increase in the next quarter or during the year? And also, I want to company thinks about maybe increasing price relative to other players in the industry. Like, is it that they're also like targeting or monitoring other price increases in the industry before they make their own strategic price increase? That's the first question concerning pricing. I also want to ask about the company's plan concerning for subsidy in an event, or let's say in a situation where we see that there's a removal of full subsidy on the petrol. We know that petrol might not really affect like much, but I want to know like what impacts do you foresee in a situation where subsidy is removed, and what are the countermeasures that are in place to like limit the effects and the impacts of this particular activity. And also, there's a particular question that I also want to...
Hello, Samson, are you still on the line? Hello, Samson?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Sorry, you can proceed.
Okay, so where did you lose me? Where did I stop?
On the fuel subsidy, we had that one. So your
okay, so it's concerning the first. I just want to know the company's plan on the first subsidy, on the impact, how do you feel is going to impact you, and what are your plans to mitigate these impacts? And number three, I want to ask that concerning the recent sell-off in Boise, like what's like an update on it? Because we've been seeing significant sell-off recently. Is this a normal market mechanism that is in play, or there are some, let's see, moves concerning the management and some large shareholders that are making that particular call? And finally, I want to ask that for future purposes, like this webcast, is it like recorded? Is it something that we can get the recording of this webcast just for the sake of, like, you know, we can just go back to like pick some details there, because there are some details that have been mentioned in this webcast, and we would like to be able to like go back to it and then pick one or two things from there. So those are my major questions for now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Samson Afolabi. I've already addressed the question on price increase going forward. I'm not in the position to speak about the prices relative to other players. I think that question is best directed at other players. But what basically guides us is our production cost, our margins, and also how we'll be able to sell into the market, because it doesn't make sense. You have prices that Nigerians cannot be able to afford. So definitely these are the guiding principles when we are fixing our prices. We do not fix them relative to the prices of other players, neither are we in discussions with them in fixing prices. Regarding the issue of the fuel subsidy, I believe from what I've read in the papers, this is limited only to petrol. I don't really know. You know, we are using diesel in our vehicles and for the transport of cement, but that is already a deregulated product. So definitely, if the subsidy removal is limited only to petrol, it will have almost no effect on our operations. So definitely, that is not an issue of concern that we need to have contingency plans to mitigate. Regarding the sell-off of shares, I'm not really aware of that, but one thing you have to know is that we have a total of about 33 billion shares, probably one of the highest in Nigeria. So even if you see a sale of a few millions, it is less than 1%. Definitely shares have to be traded upon, and when you compare the volumes of trade in our shares with respect to other companies, like I said, we have a paid up share capital of more than 33 billion shares. So it is definitely very, very insignificant, less than 1%. So no cause for concern at all. Regarding the recording of this conference call, I'm afraid maybe Claudia will have to answer that. It's back to the service providers. Oladipo, is this available in any form that people
Yes, sir. All the recordings and the transcripts are always on the website immediately after the call.
Okay, thank you. Next question, please.
Samson, I'd just like to confirm if you have any further questions.
Yeah, for now, I don't have any other questions.
Thank you very much. Thank you. The next question comes from George from Business Day Media. Please proceed with your question, George.
Hi. Good afternoon. Can you hear me? Please confirm you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you, but with a lot of background noise.
Okay, apologies. So my question, sir, congratulations on your results. So my question is regarding your volume. I didn't get what you said at first. Probably you can just help me recap on that. And what proportion of your volume was export in the period? That's one. Then my second question, are you considering going into alternative fuel, given the high energy cost, or are you already doing that? If you are, you can just provide clarity on that. Then the third question is regarding your trade receivables. If you look at your trade receivables, it went more than threefold. And there you specified you had only three corporate customers, given that you do on a cash and carry basis. So I'm just wondering, given the election uncertainties and the currency crunch, what kind of activities or projects did your three corporate clients engage in that saw your trade receivables increase by over 391% in the period? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, George. Regarding the volumes, I mentioned the volumes for Q1 to be 1.6 million compared to 1.73 million for Q1 2022. I've addressed the question of export. I don't have the exact figures yet, but we can provide that later. On your second question regarding alternative fuel, certainly a very interesting topic in the cement industry. Every cement plant aspires to have a substantial portion of its energy source replaced by alternative fuel. It makes good sense. It cleans up the environment and reduces some of the emissions. For us, we are focusing strongly and more on reducing our carbon footprint. And that is best provided by making a drastic transition from high energy, high carbon intensive fuels like LPFO to fuels like LNG and gas. And that we have succeeded in doing 100% for our generators in Sokoto. The consumption of liquid fuel, this high carbon intensive fuels, was massive. And this has been replaced substantially. And I believe that has reduced our carbon footprint and making the environment cleaner and our world safer. Definitely issues of other alternative fuels like agricultural products are being looked into. You know, we have had that in the past in the former cement company of Northern Nigeria, where up to 20% of the energy used in the kiln was replaced by rice husk and peanut shells and wood shavings. And that is a project that we are also thinking of reviving because of the preponderance of agri products in the northern part of the country. I would like more clarity on your third question on trade receivables. I would like to know what you mean by three corporate customers. As I'm aware, we have up to more than 500 customers, 500 to 600, with probably more than 90% of them being active. So I'm not sure where you got these three corporate customers. Can you shed more light on that, George?
Okay. So you do what is called a cash and carry basis, except for three corporate customers. That was highlighted in your books on notes 13A. So I'm just wondering.
I understand. Let me clarify. Corporate customers, we mean construction companies. So these are people we sell to on credit, if I'm correct. But the majority of our sales is on cash and carry, and is more than 99%. And definitely the corporate customers do not have a big chunk of our business. Certainly it's less than 1%, that I can assure you. So it's just a classification. Like was explained by our CFO, we receive cash up front and then deliver, and we hardly do credit sales, probably for just about maybe three of these customers. And like I said, it's less than 1% of our turnover. I hope that clarifies you the question.
Well, yes, it does. Just that I was just shocked that the less than 1% drove the over 391% in your trade receivables.
No, that cannot be correct. So maybe there's a miscommunication somewhere, or probably, I don't know. Jack, do you know the particular item he's referring to in the report?
That's by a multiple which is in value very little, as we mentioned before. Nothing has changed compared to the past. We still have a few of these construction companies. It's a timing issue. The receivable was 18 million last year, and due to timing issue, they placed higher orders in Q1 this year than last year. Suddenly it went to 86 million. But look, if you take this, it's really not material and nothing to be, worried about, or no change in strategy. This is just 0.01% of total assets. So it's really, completely insignificant. So no change from the past, no different strategy, and just a timing issue in the orders that were placed at that time.
George, does that address all your questions?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. At this time, we do not have any further questions on the phone lines. Ladipo, I'd just like to check if we have any webcast questions.
Yes, I do have some questions on the webcast.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next question is from Adebayo Adebanjo, Cardinal Stone. The question reads, is there any chance for an improved free float currently at 2.08? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Adebayo. I think the major requirement is for the company to be able to meet up with the free float requirements of the NGX, and that we have done. Regarding further free floats, I think that is mostly left. It's a decision of the shareholders. And I cannot speak on their behalf. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Olainka Adesanya, SBG Securities. The question reads, thank you for the presentation. I would like to confirm if you took price increases in Q1 2023. Also, please, can you provide your ex-factory price per bag? Thank you.
Yes, we did. We increased prices by some amount, I think 1st of January 2023. Since then, the prices have remained stable. Our ex-factory price from all our plants is 3,700 naira per bag, and delivered in some places, I think 4,300 naira to most parts of Nigeria. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from James Ola Adisa, Chapel Hill, Denham. His question reads, under net finance cost, how were the net gains on FX exchange realized? Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Jack, are you still with us?
Yes, again, we're following the IFRS standards. So the net gains is, when you have foreign currencies in your books that are accounted for at the official CBN exchange rate, and then when you convert them or you realize them, the rate is higher, so the difference results into an exchange gain. So very straightforward, is the difference between different rates, or the rates movement between the accounting date and the realization date. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Moses Njuguna, EFG Hems. His question reads, could you please provide carbon emission, dust emission, water usage, and other environmental statistics for Q1 2023 and compare them to Q1 2022? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Moses. These figures will be provided in our annual report. We do provide such figures on an annual basis, and they are always included in our annual report. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I have no more questions on the webcast. Claudia, do you have any questions?
Thank you. There are no further questions on the phone lines, and that does in turn conclude our question and answer session. Mr. Binji, at this time, I would like to hand over to you for closing remarks. Thank you very much, sir.
I would like to thank all the investors and analysts, and indeed everybody that has been a part of this conference call for spending a greater part of their time with us. So we look forward to seeing you when we present the half-year results in some time in July or early August. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. Thank you very much for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.